Okay, the next argued case is number 19-1439, Promos Technologies, Incorporated, against Samsung Electronics Company. Mr. Kaufman, are you ready?
Good morning, Your Honor. I guess we're good early afternoon now. May it please the court. This is a question where the board considered the combination of Fujimoto and Ho as base combination that rendered obvious the claims at suit, particularly, and the limitation that we're focusing on this morning is providing a mask over the second layer of dielectric material. And the board erred when it concluded that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have combined those, and it particularly erred because it considered evidence, the Nulty reference, which was submitted in Samsung's reply brief, instead of as part of the petition for inter partes review. Now, there's no dispute here that...
Can we start with that last point? I mean,
yes, Your Honor.
We have said repeatedly that while it's true that the board can't combine one reference with another that was not relied upon for a combination of the petition, the board is permitted to look to other references for purposes of understanding what one of skill in the art would have understood at the time, and therefore how they would have interpreted the references that are relied on, right?
Well, I don't think in the context of a wholly new, if I agree, Your Honor, if something is discussed as part of, it's included in the record at the beginning as evidence of the state of the art, then certainly they can consider it. But this is a reference that the board relied on as finding facts supporting the key point, which is that you could use some other hard mask in this combination with the fluorine etchant and bad things wouldn't happen because it wouldn't be etched. It's relying on Nulty in the reply declaration to make a point that was nowhere in the petition to begin with. And I think under Wasika and Cambridge, that sort of change of direction is inappropriate for the board. Now, the issue here is that Ho, while disclosing the use of silicon nitride and silicon oxide hard masks, explains that there's a problem with those if you use fluorine etchants, and that the problem is that the fluorine etchant may cause etching of the mask, which of course is problematic because if you want to maintain the critical dimensions of the etching, and that's the articulated reasoning that Samsung put in their petition for combining the two references, if you etch the mask, the mask is going to etch away, the hole is going to become bigger, and you're not going to maintain the dimensional control. And so the court erred when it concluded that this combination of fluorine etchants with masks that would be etched by fluorine would nonetheless render the claimed invention obvious. The board argued, or in its final written decision, said, well, it doesn't matter because Ho doesn't absolutely prohibit the use of fluorine-based materials. It just says may, and says that because there's no strict prohibition of the combination provided in the art, that it was acceptable to combine that, considering Nulty and the subsequent evidence provided by Samsung. And with respect, the board got it wrong when it made that conclusion. The case law does not. It requires, more than just it's kind of bad, but it doesn't require you may never do this or, the end of the world will be upon us, the reaction will fail. And we submit that the teaching in Ho of using these same materials for a mask that are being etched in Fujimoto doesn't reach that level. And so it's not an acceptable design trade-off as posited by the board, but it's simply something that a person of skill in the art would not combine. And thus, the board erred in its conclusion. I'm happy to address any further questions on that particular issue, but otherwise, I'll yield the time and respond to the process.
Can I just ask you one question about In the district court action that you filed against Samsung, is claim 5 asserted? Or has it not gotten to that point?
This is not the only... I don't have that answer, Your Honor. I don't recall whether we had gotten to the point of doing asserted claims or not. Samsung's counsel may have an answer to that, but sitting here today, off the top of my head, I do not have the district court record in front of me, and I cannot provide Your Honor with an answer to that question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Can I just ask one question on claim 5? So, well, actually, we'll get back to, I guess we'll get to that
right.
On the other side. Okay, never mind.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
No, we'll hear on the cross appeal. You, Mr. Modi.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good afternoon. May it please the court. Starting with Promas's appeal, Claim 1 broadly recites providing a mask without any limitation as to the material for the mask. Commensurate with the breadth of Claim 1, Samsung's combination relied on a hard mask structure, again, without any limitation as to the material. So what Promas does on appeal, and it tried to do this before the board as well, it twists Samsung's combination and says, well, it's limited to a particular hard mask material. But the board correctly rejected that and found as a factual matter that a person of ordinary skill would have had the requisite skill set to select an appropriate mask material and other materials, such as an etchant gas. This court should simply affirm. So if we dig deeper into this analysis and look at the evidence that we have, again, this is a substantial evidence issue. The board is entitled to a lot of deference on this issue.
Why was relying on Nolte not a problem?
Sure, Your Honor, I can jump to that. It was not a problem for three reasons, Your Honor. First, it was directly responsive to the arguments Promas made in its patent owner response. Second, and which I think is the more important reason, again, if you look at the petition, nowhere did we limit the petition to just a silicon nitride hard mask material. The petition broadly recited the whole structure. And in fact, in the institution decision, the board correctly read our petition as not being so limited, right? It actually pointed to the hard mask material in Ho and said that other materials can be used for the structure. So Samsung was entitled to rebut that and support that in its reply, which is exactly what it did. So again, if you look at the, and this is an abuse of discretion issue from the board, and the board is certainly entitled to deference on that issue.
But Nolte was relied on, though, to say that there are other types of materials separate and apart from the one identified in Ho, right?
So Nolte was just supporting the board's conclusion based on just Ho, right? If you look at Ho, Ho specifically tells us, and maybe we can look at Ho just to make sure that the record is clear. So if you look at Ho, Appendix 523. Judge O'Malley, let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
Okay, so if you go to Appendix 523, it's column 3, and it's lines 15 through 19. It says, a hard mask layer 12 is deposited over second organosilicate layer 14, completing the example in the wafer stack. And then it says hard mask may be formed of silicon oxide, silicon nitride, or other hard mask materials, especially inorganic hard mask materials. And we think that's fatal to their argument because, again, Ho itself recognizes that it's not limiting its structure to just a silicon nitride material. So what the board did in its decision when it relied on the reply evidence is completely proper under this court's case law in Genzyme, for example, Belden. So here we do believe the board properly looked at the evidence, but even if you were to exclude Nolte, and Nolte is hardly even mentioned in the board's decision, we believe Ho by itself gets us there. So then if we look at the evidence, they point to one of the motivations to combine that the board relied upon. It's the critical dimension limitation. But there was more motivation to combine here. And specifically, if you look at For example, the petition, there were three reasons that we gave for the combination here. One was that you want a robust mask because the Fujimoto process, there are two contact openings you're trying to open, and one of them is deep. So you want a robust mask. That was supported by the testimony of Dr. Rubloff. Second, we said Ho's mask structure would provide the additional benefit of preventing undesirable standing. And then third, we pointed to the critical dimension issue that they raise. But I think there's an important point there. We were comparing the use of a hard mask to a photoresist. And we said one of skill would have understood that using a hard mask would have improved critical dimensions. And if you look at the expert testimony, testimony from their own expert, Mr. Brumbutt, at Appendix 1741, for example, he agreed that the hard mask does provide additional advantages as opposed to a photo mask and would not have necessarily impacted the critical dimensions. So there is plenty of evidence in the record to support the board's fact finding on a motivation to combine. With respect to, and there's more with respect to the whole issue of whether one of skill would have not used, that Ho was incompatible because of the etchant that it uses, the fluoride etchant. Again, if you look at Ho itself, it says a problem may exist, not that it always exists. And I think what's fatal to their argument here on appeal is we have not heard a response either before the board or here to the Ho statement that it actually says in certain instances you want to use a fluorine-based gas. And that's at Appendix for example, 526, column 9. So again, there's plenty of evidence in the record to support the board's fact findings on why a fluorine-based etchant would be compatible, would have been compatible with the mask structure. And then the board also made a finding that, in fact, Fujimoto is not limited to a fluorine-based gas. And that's at, for example, Appendix 33. Again, that further supports the board's decision with respect to this issue. So collectively, the board here carefully considered the party's evidence and the arguments. They weighed the testimony. They credited Samsung's testimony over and over again over Mr. Brumbutt's testimony. This court should simply affirm with respect to Samsung's appeal. Unless you have any other questions on that, or Promise's appeal, I should say. Unless you have any other questions, I'd like to move on to the cross appeal. Okay. So with respect to the cross appeal, it's a in our view, a very simple issue. It's limited to Claim 5. Claim 5 recites that the etching method is a dry etch method. Promas does not dispute. It didn't dispute this before the board or this court. There are only two options for etching in this process. It's either a wet etch or a dry etch. Promas admitted before the board that there are, in fact, advantages to using a wet etch. It has numerous benefits. What's more, we have the 044 patent. It does not provide any unexpected results with respect to using a wet etch or a dry etch. So given these circumstances, the board should have found Claim 5 obvious as a matter of law. And if we look at, for example, some of the cases that we believe lead to that result, the ones that I would point to, for example, Personal Web is we believe very squarely fits this case where there were only a limited number of options. And here we only have two. So this is per se obvious. And I think you have to look at this in the context of what's happening here. So if you look at Claim 1, the board found that claim obvious, right, in light of Fujimoto and Ho. So what they do is in Claim 5, they say, well, the etch is a dry etch. And then Claim 6, they say the etch is a wet etch. So in effect, what the board said was that Claim 5 would be allowable, even though it's such a fundamental feature in semiconductor processing and there are only two options.
Well, the board did concede that there were only two options, but I think what the board found lacking in your expert's testimony was that there's a specific, they call it circumstances, but you know, a specific environment that Fujimoto is discussing. And the board found lacking the fact that a wet etch would ever be appropriate for the Fujimoto environment. Why isn't that supported by the record?
So sure, Your Honor, let me address that.
By the absence of evidence in the record.
Sure, let me address that. So if we look at what the evidence showed, So obviously Fujimoto is the primary reference. We relied on the Patterson reference, and I think we should maybe take a look at that. So if you go to the Patterson reference, and if you could go to Appendix 534.
That's the reference that the board specifically said was dependent upon the material of the dialectic.
Right. So I want to unpack that for you, Your Honor, if I could.
I feel like I'm watching CNN.
So if we go to the Patterson reference, Your Honor, and if we go to Appendix 534, and if you look at, starting with column 3, and we're now looking at line, for example, 62. It said multi-level 16 may be a conventional dielectric material used for insulation of polysilicon layers from overlying metallization. And then it goes on and says, an example of a conventional multi-level dielectric is phosphorus doped silicon dioxide. There's no dispute here that that's a oxide layer, just like Fujimoto, right? So then that's the material that Patterson's etching. So then you go to column 4, and if you go to line 5, again, same on Appendix 534, it says contact 18, VI-18, is patterned according to conventional photolithographic techniques and etched by conventional wet or plasma etches for the particular material of multi-level 16. So what Patterson is telling us is that to etch an oxide layer, you can use a wet etch or a dry etch. So the concerns that they raised before the board, which we submit the board actually did not actually resolve, but if you go and look at their arguments, and if I could have you now turn to Appendix 529, the figures of the Fujimoto reference. So their response to this evidence was before the board, again, the board did not resolve this. They said, well, Fujimoto would somehow, there would be a beer barrel effect, is the argument they made. But if you actually look at figures 2B and 2C, you can see that there's a VI-18 in that figure. There is no beer barrel effect. It's a vertical opening, just like in Fujimoto. So the board's concerns that it had with respect to Fujimoto when it's implemented with the technique of Patterson, it simply is not supported by the evidence.
Can you address something that the board did not cite in the carryover paragraph on 55 to 56, which is the 2.5 pages of Promos' expert, Baumwatt, starting at 1357 to 1359, which seems to take issue with the applicability of wet etching.
I sure can, Your Honor. And I think the response is simple. If you actually look at that testimony, what Mr. Brumbutt says is he looks at a particular passage in Fujimoto, and I think we should look at that.
Passage, or is this a figure 1D?
Right. And then I think the passage that he refers to in Fujimoto is in column 5. Where he says, well, in Fujimoto, and it's Appendix 498, Your Honor, and you'll see on this page, Appendix 498, it talks about right in the middle on column 5, right along line 30 to about 35, Fujimoto talks about avoiding a beer barrel effect. So what Mr. Brumbart did here is he said, well, look, Fujimoto tells you because it's using a wet etch or it's using a dry etch, that you would actually avoid the beer barrel effect. But if you actually read this passage, this refers to the etching rate, which would be applicable to a dry etch or a wet etch. So his testimony certainly is just not supported by what he's saying. And like you pointed out, Your Honor, the board didn't resolve it. But I think you have to go back to the legal argument here. Given that the 044 patent, there's only one sentence in the 044 patent with respect to this etch, right?
Well, I guess my question is whether there are missing factual findings on this claim 5 for which a remand would be appropriate. Not what you want, which is an outright reversal on the theory that this is one of those binary design options so obviously available that under certain portions of KSR, the inquiry can stop there. And the board kind of went with you up to that last paragraph and then said, but we don't think this is one of those cases, maybe because of the particular environment. And yet we don't have a discussion of the evidence on that of exactly the sort that you are now giving.
So, Your Honor, you're absolutely right. At a minimum, we think a remand is warranted. And we believe under this court's case law, again, if you look at the 044 patent, there's one sentence on whether using a wet etch or a dry etch in its process. And why is that? Because it was so well known. There are only two options. This is exactly like the personal web case. They have not shown that there are unexpected properties. So we do believe that this court can find as a matter of law that claim 5 is obvious given the circumstances here. But at a minimum, I believe you're right, Judge Toronto, this should go back to the board for those factual findings. Unless Your Honors have any other questions, I will save the rest.
I will save you rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your
Honors. Let's hear from Mr. Kaufman.
I'm sorry, can I ask a question?
Another question?
Delaware, claim 5.
So, Your Honor, it's my understanding the case hasn't gotten that far. Okay.
So. Because it matters possibly for standing.
I understand, Your Honor. But the case hasn't gone that far. Thank you.
Okay.
May it please the court. The board got it exactly right with respect to claim 5. They found that the evidence presented by Samsung was inadequate to establish that a person skilled in the art would use the wet etch in Fujimoto's process, particularly where Fujimoto was aware of the wet etch and explained the problems with the wet etch and didn't suggest any solution. I think they read the law too broadly when they suggest that anytime there are two alternatives, as a matter of law, it must be obvious. I think that context is important, and I think that the Supreme Court and this court have said that you have to consider all the facts in the context and not just apply sort of a rubber stamp test. And I think here, where Fujimoto in column 5 warns about the beer barrel, and Mr. Modi was talking about etching rates, and part of that is the difference between the way wet etching works, which Mr. Brombot described as isotropic, so it kind of eats away everything in every direction, versus the dry etchings, which are anisotropic, and so you have it will etch down faster than it will etch sideways. And so that's why you don't get the beer barrel effect, but rather you just, it's kind of like drilling a hole instead of, I'm trying to think of a good analogy where you pour water into something and it would partially dissolve out into a, if you had a sugar base.
It didn't actually say that though, right? I mean, it pretty much just said there's, you know, we just don't think there was enough evidence that you would use it in Fujimoto's format, right?
Right, because of the problems of Fujimoto. The board did not go into anisotropy versus isotropy. The board did not make findings on that. Yes, Your Honor. But the board said, in the context of Fujimoto, where they're trying to avoid the beer barrel, that Samsung had not met its burden. And one of the points that Samsung raised in its briefing is that the board somehow committed some sort of error by not considering our footnote about the, at page 1370 of the appendix, about the advantages, such as they are, of wet etching process. But if we look at that, that statement says the benefit of a wet etch is that it can be, that it is higher throughput, less complex, and lower cost, even though it cannot achieve anisotropy. That's the statement that Samsung was arguing that the board improperly ignored, but the board referenced it and didn't find that that it changed the analysis. Samsung's trying to make the term although do a lot of work in that context. With respect to Judge Toronto's second to last question, I think, actually, about whether this case needs to go back down for remand, we would submit no. We think the factual findings are adequate here and support the board's decision, and that the board's decision can be affirmed, and there need be no remand with respect to Claim 5. Uh, unless there are any questions on the cross appeal, I think I have one point to make on our primary appeal, and I'll cede the balance. Okay.
Thank you.
Turning back to the original appeal, Nolte was cited by Dr. Rubloff, Samsung's expert, in the reply declaration as providing a teaching of polysilicon as a potential hard mask, and the board relied on that as part of its finding that the claim was obvious. So the idea that Nolte was somehow harmless, I think, is inappropriate, and also that the use of a later articulated reference in theory is not appropriate under Wasika and Cambridge Bio. And with that, Your Honor, thank you for your time.
Mr. Modi, you have a couple of minutes on the cross appeal.
I know, Your Honor, we're running late, so I will be quick. With respect to this whole point on Fujimoto, I just want to give the court one more citation on Appendix 496. When Fujimoto talks about the beer barrel effect, it is directed to the etching grid, which would apply to a wet etch or a dry etch.
Does a wet etch always etch one material faster than another?
So again, Your Honor, I think it depends on a number of factors, there could be, it could, for example, the thickness of the material could matter. But what we have in the record is that's at Appendix 1307. They said benefit of a wet etch is that it's higher throughput, less complex, and lower cost. So there's certainly benefits to a wet etch. And again, we only have two options here, wet etch and a dry etch. The cases like Personal Web and this court's case, the Google versus Philips case from January, we think squarely fit this fact pattern. And just one last point, I just want to make sure I may have misspoken earlier. Claim 5 is the dry etch claim. That's what we're, claim 5 is a wet etch claim. That's what we're talking about here. Claim 6 is the dry etch claim that was found to be invalid by the board. So again, if this court were to let Promus get away with Claim 5, we think just from a policy perspective, it would not be fair, because they would have Claim 1 is invalid, Claim 6 is invalid. The only claim that survives is a well-known feature in semiconductor processing, that you have a wet etch in this process. So unless Your Honors have any other questions, we ask this court to reverse with respect to Claim 5.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. And that concludes this panel's argued cases for this session.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10:00 a.m.